Welcome to a new episode of the Society for Scholarly Publishing's Early Career Podcast. This is Meredith, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sara. As always, thank you to SSP for supporting the podcast and allowing us to be here. Sara and I are looking forward to a great year of podcast programming, and we thank all of you for continuing to be here and listen. We're kicking off 2025 by checking in with current SSP president, Heather Staines. Heather is the Director of Community Engagement and a senior consultant at DeltaThink. Heather has been an active contributor to SSP for many years in many ways, and she's well known in SSP for her creative annual meeting sessions that re-envision complex industry topics in completely new and interactive ways. I've been to several of these sessions myself, and I can attest to how fun they are. Today, we're going to chat with Heather about her presidency so far, her plans for 2025, and her perspectives on the critical role of early career professionals in our industry. And with that, let's get going and get right into our conversation with Heather. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here today. Thanks for inviting me.
So let's start by just having you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and your career path.
Thanks. I started as an academic, a historian. I talk about it a lot. So I think a lot of people know that. So I always appreciate the social sciences and humanities, some aspect of what we do in addition to the STEM. Like many people, I think I fell into publishing, unless you have a parent who does it and you know about it. It's kind of an accidental profession. I had been training as an academic and I hadn't really considered other career paths. I often feel a little bit like I was, you know, tossed with the tides and I didn't really have a plan. And I would look at a lot of key junctures in my career and maybe feel that that has continued, but at some point, the non-plan becomes a plan in and of itself. When I started in publishing, I was prepared to work in any discipline that was available to me, despite my area of expertise, because we are kind of an apprentice type industry. I started as a book acquisitions editor and was fortunate to be able to acquire in my exact field, which is military and diplomatic history, not too long after I got going. So I feel like I got a lucky lightning strike as far as that goes. One thing I think, which is central to understanding our industry, if you're not from it, is that we start in a department where we start. And many times folks will continue to progress throughout their career. But I had a lot of curiosity what happened to the book manuscript after it left my hands. And I was at a company called Greenwood Publishing Group. It was a small division of Elsevier. And that company was very interested in online publishing, XML conversion. It was the early days. It was a very, very painful process, but I could see the potential. And once I realized I wanted to work in that space, I needed to move over to journals because that's where the action was. I spent almost 5 years at Springer SBM, which is the precursor to Springer Nature, as a project manager for the SpringerLink platform. And I got to learn about everything that made the platform go, everything that was on the platform, all of the integrations that happened. And that really opened up the whole universe, the whole ecosystem of what researchers needed, what publishers needed, metrics, authentication, citations. You know, I was kind of like off and running there. I had long wanted to do business development and I did a turn through the startup space. I worked for a startup out of Stanford where I was able to work with all kinds of publishers and kind of expanded my universe into university presses, trade publishers, open educational resources, textbook publishers. So that was wonderful. And it was during that time where I got more involved working with librarians, which is something that continues to be important to me. While I had been at Springer, I was introduced to the amazing, you know, somewhat new world then in the early 2000s of open access publishing. And that was something I continued to work on. I did some open infrastructure startups, open source, annotation technology at Hypothesis, platform hosting at the Knowledge Futures Group. So it's really been a quite long and windy road. And it turns out when you've had a profession that has touched in a lot of different spaces, it's wonderful training for becoming a consultant. So when DeltaThink reached out to me originally about the open access data and analytics tool, which we have, I said, you know, I'd love to help you with that, but I'm looking for a full-time gig. So I spend more than half of my time now on consulting, but I do still manage that tool. And it's the best place that I've ever worked. And, you know, I hope to stay here forever.
Thanks so much for that, Heather. You've had such a diverse and varied background, which obviously makes you a great choice for leadership role at SSP. And I'm actually now looking forward to when we get to the second half of the interview where we talk about your advice for early career professionals. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about your presidency. Can you tell us how you first got involved with SSP?
Yeah, it was almost completely by accident. I had a colleague at Springer who had committed to what turned out to be a pre-conference, although when he asked me if I could do it, he didn't make it clear that it was like a full day session. But it was wonderful kind of landing in the midst of the SSP conference and finding a lot of people who, you know, were kind of publishing nerds like me. I will say, even though I had attended history meetings and military history meetings and international studies meetings for a while, I had not given much thought to how these meetings were put together and organized. And that first SSP introduced me to the world of SSP volunteer committees, which I now know almost every conference, you know, does have. I left that first SSP on two committees, the annual meeting program committee, and also something that was called the organizational collaboration committee. And that was like peeking behind, you know, the curtain in the Wizard of Oz, where you're like, this is, you know, the nerve center of what happens. I also found that I had a knack and love for putting together panels. I often say that every topic for me is a potential panel. And so I think it was the next year at SSP, I had organized panels for almost every time slot. We had fewer submissions in those days. So like that was something that like could potentially happen to you. And some folks in the leadership roles took a look and said, well, if Heather wants to put together a lot of panels, maybe she should be, you know, the co-chair for an upcoming, you know, annual meeting. And so I was a little bit of a fast track there, ended up co-chairing Dan Michael. So that's where we first got to know each other. And it's just really been no stopping the types of things that I've been involved with SSP ever since. I was elected to the board relatively early on. I did lose the first time I ran. I ran for president a long time ago, lost to Rick Anderson, and I didn't know that Rick had such a big following. So now I would feel a little bit nervous. But at the time, I remember thinking, wow, I lost to someone who's not even in publishing, which was a little bit of a blow. You know, it's been overall a great experience, and I never really thought I would find myself president. So be careful what you imagine won't happen, because it could happen to you.
That's very relatable how you got involved. And I can say for myself, there are a lot of people who thought you would end up as president, including me. So not terribly surprised to see you in this role. But it's also not surprising to me that you were involved with organizing sessions for the annual meeting early on, because as I said in the intro, I've loved some of your recent sessions that have been super fun and creative, and they just add a little fun variety to the annual meeting.
Thank you.
So as you might know, over the last few years, we've also interviewed Miranda and Randy, who were the SSP presidents right before you. And in those discussions, we heard a little bit from them about the role of the SSP board as leaders within the organization. And we'd like to ask you now, as you've been president about halfway through your term, what's your view on how you interact with the rest of the SSP board and what their role is in leading SSP as an organization?
Thank you for that. The SSP board is amazing, incredible. Like I couldn't probably put enough adjectives together in a sentence. And, you know, some of the folks there I've known for quite a while, and some are newer to me. And they have such great questions, and the varied backgrounds that they bring to the table, the companies they've worked in, the areas they've lived, in many cases, academic or technological backgrounds, really add such richness to the conversations. I kind of think of them, I guess, as like the Jedi Council. I often tell my mentees and fellows that if you get involved volunteering, you will soon discover that it's kind of like the same six people in every industry organization that make things go. And that's only a little bit of an exaggeration. SSP has so many irons in the fire, and it would be impossible to manage that without having the SSP board that we do and the folks that are willing to serve in that type of leadership position. And you mentioned Miranda and Randy, and I've known them for quite a while. And I know President-elect Rebecca McLeod for quite a while in a number of different roles. And the opportunity to get to spend quality time in person and virtually with all of them is just priceless.
Thanks. I like that. The Jedi Council. I think that should be the new name of the board, perhaps going forward. So, Heather, what would you consider to be the highlights of your presidency so far?
So many, hard to think about where to start. It might sound a bit workaday, but one of the real highlights for me has been the opportunity to sit in on committee meetings. As president-elect last year, I was tasked with renewing and appointing co-chairs for all the committees and task forces, and also sitting on the awards and nominations committee, which is another thing that the president-elect does. So it gave me a broader window into the entirety of SSP, so many more committees than the last time that I was on the board. It's amazing to think, of all of the areas that folks are involved in. So having that window has been extremely valuable. We're in the midst of a strategic planning exercise, which happens, I think, every 5 years, and that is well in hand. And we'll be doing a webinar in a couple months to introduce that and roll that out to the membership, looking at where we stand now, where we want to go in the future, how we will get there, working with the executive committee and board to make those things more straightforward so that we can start on tactics. That's been an incredible experience. You may have seen that SSP has a new awards program. Awards will come out at the annual meeting in Baltimore. So that's been super fun to have some insight into. It was my first society leadership forum in the fall. I got to work closely with Mia Ricci on that. Love her. And I've not worked in society publishing directly myself. So it was maybe a once in a lifetime, opportunity to participate in something like that. And recently we did the orientation for the new fellows who are starting their fellowship year at the annual meeting. And so just seeing so many new faces there makes me so excited about this coming year. As I've said before, I love mentoring and, working with the fellows has been something that I've been privileged to do over a course of a number of years. So many things.
So much great stuff. Is there anything else that you didn't mention that you sort of have in mind as a goal for the rest of your term?
I said last year in Boston that early careers, folks who are new to publishing, so I consider them, early careers in publishing as well, irrespective of how long they've had other careers, are so crucial for our industry. And I know we're going to talk more about that a little bit later. I look forward to working with the Career Development Committee and the other committees that work on programming and communicating out more specifically to early careers. I think the strategic plan will point to some potential new areas where we can expand, the mentoring role and some of the training roles that I think will be key for folks who are sitting in that space. Very excited in Baltimore that I'm going to be involved in an adjacent session, which I put in as the SSP President's Early Career Roundtable. A little bit cheeky to submit that, but I was excited to learn that it's been accepted. So we'll be working on what that will look like. I think it will be an opportunity for everyone who comes to SSP who has been an early career and works with them. So that should be everyone. If you're not in that category, I would like to know what it is exactly that you do because maybe you need to rethink your role. But give an opportunity for probably a small group of current fellows and early careers in the profession to discuss some topics and then, have a broader discussion with almost 200 people. So everyone would be welcome to attend. So I'm thrilled to start working on that.
I love the idea of that session. That sounds great. I suspect you'll have standing room only for that. And this is a great segue into the next part of the conversation, which is going to be a little bit more focused on our early career audience. So I'm going to pass over to Sara for that.
Thank you so much, Meredith. And Heather, it's great to speak with you today. So the first question that I have for you, as you know, our core audience for this podcast is early career professionals in all areas of scholarly communication. How do you see the role of early career professionals within the industry and also within SSP and other similar organizations such as ALPSP and others?
Well, first, it's going to sound cliche, but I feel like I have to say it. ECPs are the future. Probably could turn that into a song. Be careful. We would not have an industry without their contributions. So, I can't highlight that enough. But recent times have been so challenging. And interruptions to everything in life that happened, the COVID pandemic, the rise of hybrid work and completely remote work. I personally fell in love with publishing because I fell in love with the people in it. When I first started out, I was hyper-focused when I would go to events on get authors, get authors, get authors. And one day a colleague told me, look around at the people standing behind these tables at the booth. These are the people you're going to be interacting with year upon year. Like authors will come and go. And that just opened up a new world for me, just like volunteering at SSP did, because you may change your role frequently and other people may change their roles. That's kind of a given. But there's a reasonable expectation you will interact with people on and off again through your whole, you know, career, but with maybe not as many opportunities for in-person interaction, I think we need to get creative. And I really want to hear from folks who are starting out now or are new to the industry now, what is it that they need or that attracts them, you know, to the industry, because it may be different things. What is unattractive about the industry? What's not working so that, you know, managers and senior leadership can work on that? Because if we can't get retention of folks within the early years of their career, then we won't have folks to move up in the coming term. And I think it's really critical for folks who are just starting out to think about, again, what they like, what they don't like, what they would like to be doing in a couple of years. What is it they want to do more of in their current role? What do they want to do less of? Because that can help them make a determination of where they want to go. I mentioned be curious, talk to folks in other departments. Many folks do change departments over their careers. And I think that's a wonderful thing. If you discover something that resonates with you a little bit more, I'm always sad, you know, to see folks who won't maybe be working directly with me, but think it's wonderful that they have a career in the same company in another department, or that they're changing companies to find something that fits them a little bit better. So don't be afraid to change it up, learn more about what's going on, do information interviews, you know, reach out to me. I'm happy to have a chat. And I do think that one thing which is critical, folks who are sitting in the early career seats now, they will be at the forefront of using all the AI tools that are coming out. They're using them now, they've been using them, and they will be the trainers for folks in other departments, for incoming folks. And that piece, there's nothing to replace it. And so if you're sitting in those roles now and doing those things, know the great value that you bring to the table and the ideas that you have moving forward. And I think that goes beyond SSP to other industry professions. So, you know, get involved, speak up, be creative.
Absolutely love that last point, Heather, particularly the point you made about AI and the fact that early career professionals will really be at the front of that. And actually something that is a little bit related, because it is very much all about new developments and changes. Something we hear a lot is that one of the most challenging things is staying up to date on developments, news, happenings. There's so much going on. Do you have any advice for how early career professionals can keep up to date on what is going on in the industry?
So much is going on. That's a really tough question. I feel like I need an AI assistant myself on that. I am a newsletter and alert subscriber, maybe an over subscriber, which is why my Gmail inbox, which is what I use for those things, has been a hot mess for a long time. But I do tend to sign up when I'm offered the opportunity. I don't always get to them, but I will dip in when I can. I will look at things that I'm not that familiar with. And another piece of advice that I give my mentees is, if you think that something might not be applicable for you, dig a little bit deeper, because maybe it is. If you come across a company in an exhibit hall and you don't know what they do, they probably are working with your company, or maybe they could be. So ask a question. And I think I learned things from newsletters, from organizations that maybe at first glance did not think would be applicable, more than sometimes the usual suspects. And kind of connecting the dots amongst these things can be fun and strategic. I'm going to reveal how long I've been in the industry now. When I started my first job in publishing, it wasn't too long after the movie Working Girl, you know, had come out, the lead actress in that, cutting out clippings from the newspaper and putting them in the inbox, you know, of some of the leaders. And then she ended up stepping into a role and kind of playing an executive when she wasn't yet one. And I will say, I cut out some clippings and put some clippings in some inboxes. I would love to have almost like the equivalent of like a journals club where we talked about industry news. And maybe that's something that we could somehow make happen. For example, I track OA news and announcements for some of the work I do at Delta Think. And so, you know, just getting together informally over Zoom or something to talk about that, I think would be one great way to kind of keep a finger on the pulse.
Thanks so much, Heather. There's a lot of really good advice there. And what are you most excited about in 2025?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say first that we have a new grandchild on the way this spring. So that is a big thing in my life. I'm also taking a real vacation, which I haven't done in quite some time. In August, I'm going to South Africa. So those are some personal milestones that I'm looking at. And I'm writing a couple musicals for some upcoming industry events. And so the people who are working with me on those, we're having a great time laying those out. But in terms of maybe the more professional side and SSP side, I'm so excited at the upcoming board and presidential election for SSP to see who's going to be coming in and joining us on the board and as the president-elect. And as I mentioned, I've known Rebecca McLeod for quite some time, but I've been really excited to see how she's really taken off in her role as president-elect. And so working with her as past president is going to be great. And that's been great, you know, working with Randy as far as that goes. I mentioned that we're rolling out the strategic plan in the spring as well. So I can't wait to see how the entire membership kind of takes up the flag on different parts of that and makes that a reality. And I'm looking forward to seeing everyone in Baltimore. And one thing which was so fun last year and is going to happen again is the auction of things that have been crafted by the membership. I know I was like hovering on my bids up till the last minute. So if you're out there and you have a creative flair and you want to contribute something, or if you want to do some shopping, that's going to be an amazing thing again. And I know that I'm going to be hitting refresh and haunting that stand in the exhibit hall. So look for me there.
Congratulations on the new grandchild. That is super exciting. But it sounds like even beyond that, it's a really, really full year ahead and plenty to look forward to at the next SSP meeting later this year. Just to wrap up, what's the best piece of advice you've gotten in your own career that you'd like to pass along to our audience?
I've been thinking about this question, and I'd love to be able to point to like a specific time or a specific person. I sort of feel like things have bubbled up and, you know, things have accumulated over time. And so many people have given me great advice that I could not settle on just one of them. But some of the things I was thinking about are to know that you have value in the expertise you've accumulated and the things that you've done, value across, I mean, obviously a great worth as a person, but in the industry, value across the community and even adjacent communities. I think sometimes if we start in one role and we focused on that. And, you know, I've had some zigs and zags in my career. I've lost some positions due to reorgs and companies being sold. And you may find yourself feeling like, well, what can I, you know, contribute? But you have such a fantastic skill set to offer, you know, that is desirable in the publisher, vendor, you know, library, consortia, beyond space. So know that. And, you know, try not to dismay if you feel like you've had a jolt or an interruption. Know that you can shape and grow a job so that it fits with the types of things you want to do. You might not be able to revamp it completely. Your company might not be too happy about that, but let your company know if you want to do more things. You can prepare yourself for your next job while you're in your current one by learning new things, by volunteering in a role that maybe is different from your day job. And so think about where you want to go and what are maybe some of the milestones to get there. I think the first time somebody told me that you don't just manage down, but you manage sideways and you manage up, I was so confused by that prospect. But as I've gone forward in my career, I understand what that means. And so, you know, learning how to deal with folks in your organization at all different levels and how to acclimate them to change, how to be more effectively as vertical teams as well as horizontal or cross teams, just knowing that that was a thing was important to me. And I guess finally, because I have had unexpected turns in my career, organizations like SSP and the volunteering that I've been able to do and the service activities I've been able to do have enabled me alongside my career to build a personal brand. You know, it sounds like so salesy to say your personal brand, but it is something you should be mindful of moving forward because our industry, you know, is a community and many opportunities will come to you because people are aware not just of the affiliation you have, but your personal brand. But don't lose in that creation of a personal brand your own value system and, you know, the kinds of things that are foundational and mission critical to you. And for me, recently and with the move to DeltaThink, the thing that I almost lost was my strong belief in an open future and the role, not that saying that everything needs to be open, but the role that as we open content, data, identifiers, data sets, things like that are going to be in our entire community in the future. And as it turned out, when I had other opportunities, it wasn't the ones with the most money and it wasn't the ones with the most grandiose sounding titles or the most direct reports or the things like that that were attractive to me. And someone in a jobs council I participated in said, the reason none of those opportunities are resonating with you is the work that you've done in the open space and open infrastructure space. You don't just say you believe it, you really believe it. So when you're taking, you know, assessment of what's important to you and what are the things you do that are important, make a special star next to those foundational value issues so that whichever direction you move in, you're not sacrificing those because you won't be happy if those aren't a part of what you do moving forward. So I really appreciated that advice.
Thank you so much, Heather. There was so much to unpack there. And it's really hard to pull out just one particular thing that really resonated. But what I will say is that final piece about building a personal brand, but also going back to an earlier point where you said this industry is a community. I think that's so true. And as we start the year, one thing that I think is really important to say is publishing is like one big happy family. And that's why so many of us stay here. So thank you so much for everything that you said today, for giving us your time and for your enthusiasm. It sounds like it's going to be another great year for SSP, and we look forward to seeing the plans evolve. And of course, for anyone listening, please do look for Heather's Early Career Roundtable at the SSP meeting later this year. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.